In connection with our text in Matthew 24, we turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 tonight. 11 verses. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We read that far. Now let's read our text in Matthew 24. Verses 42 through 44. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, are you watching for the coming of the Son of Man? Are you wide awake spiritually? Are you sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation? Are you watching? You are not spiritually sleeping, are you? You are not spiritually drunken with the pleasures and cares of this life, are you? These are the searching soul questions that we face together tonight. Our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to watch. In the parallel accounts, in Mark 13, first of all, he says this in verses 33 through 37, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. In the Luke 21 account, verses 34 through 36, it is put in these words, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, that is, indulgence, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, Watch ye, therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Christ calls us to watch. So do the apostles. The apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, watch. In the passage that we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, the apostle writes to the Thessalonians, Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And also the apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4, verse 7, But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Our Lord and His apostles call us, beloved, to watch. Are we giving heed to that calling? Are we obeying that exhortation? Are we watching? Are we wide awake spiritually, looking for the coming of Christ? Let's hear together the calling to watch, noticing first that this is a necessary calling, secondly, a calling to watchfulness, and thirdly, an urgent calling. Is this calling really necessary? The calling to watch for the coming of Christ, this is not one of the Ten Commandments. Is this calling really necessary? The answer, of course, is yes. Our Lord gives us this calling, and therefore it is necessary. But He also tells us the reason why it is necessary for us to hear the calling to watch. Verse 42, For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. That is the reason why it is necessary for us to hear the calling to watch. Because we do not know in what hour our Lord doth come. If we did know in what hour our Lord doth come, we really would not need to hear the calling to watch. I do not say we would not then need to watch, but we would not then need to hear the calling to watch. This is a necessary calling for us because we do not know in what hour our Lord doth come. And as our Lord uses a figure in this text, and as the Apostle Paul uses it in the chapter that we read, He comes as a thief in the night. Notice in verse 43, our Lord uses that illustration, but know this, or we could translate, but you know this. This is an obvious fact which you know, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. This, the Lord says, is an obvious fact which you know. And if you don't know, know it. Know this. If the homeowner knew in what watch the thief would come, then he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Let me first point out two brief items so that we are clear. When He speaks of the good man of the house, that is one word in the original Greek, and it means simply the master of the house. In our common language, we might say the homeowner or the householder. It could be someone also who owns a property, a rental property perhaps, or an inn of some kind. When the Lord speaks of the watch, in what watch, He has in mind the way time was kept in those days, and there were commonly four watches in the night. The word watch in the original is a very flexible word, which can refer to the act of watching. It can refer to the people who do the watching, the guards. Or it can refer to that time period in which guards watch over prisoners. The night was broken up into four shifts, four watches of the night. The Lord mentions those four shifts in the Mark 13 account, as we saw a little while ago. Verse 35, he says, "Ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning." Those are the four watches. Evening, perhaps 6 o'clock or so. Midnight, 12 a.m. The cock crowing, perhaps 4 a.m. or so. And then the morning. Those four watches. First, those two items. Now let us notice what the Lord says in verse 43. If the homeowner, if any given homeowner or householder had known in what watch, the first, second, third, or fourth watch of the night, the thief was planning to come, what would he do? If he knew, for example, that a certain thief in the local town is planning to come to his house in the second watch of the night at midnight to break into his house, to rummage or to dig through all his possessions, which is the literal meaning of the word broken up in the text, and to take his precious property and to take it away. If a homeowner knew that somehow, he received a tip somehow, someone informed him that a certain thief was planning to do that, what would he do? The Lord says, of course, he would have watched. Would that homeowner be able to go to bed at night, lay down and simply drift off to sleep, knowing that at midnight tonight a thief is coming into his house? Of course not. He could not fall asleep. His eyes would be wide awake. He would be on the edge of his seat. He would know the thief is coming tonight at this particular hour. Of course he would watch. No one would have to tell him to watch. He would spontaneously watch for the coming of that thief. And he would also get himself ready. He would lock up his house. And he would make sure that he is prepared for that thief when he comes. And that's obvious, is it not, beloved? What would you do? What would you do, homeowners? Homeowners among us. If you knew that tonight at midnight, a thief was planning to come to your house to break in the front door, to rummage through your valuables and your precious belongings, to take some of your tools or your car or your cash, and to leave you penniless, what would you do? Would you be able to go to bed? Would you be able to lay down and go to sleep? Of course not. You'd be wide awake. What would you do? You would prepare yourself. You would get ready for the coming of that thief. Of course. You would not need to be told to watch if you knew the exact time when the thief is coming. You would spontaneously watch. You would probably bolt all of your doors shut, turn off the lights, get 911 already pre-dialed on your cell phone, and maybe even get out a shotgun and be ready for the coming of this would-be intruder who would come into your house and take your things. You would be ready. You would watch. Of course. And so also, if we knew the exact time of our Lord's return, we would not need the calling to watch. You can see that. We would not need the calling. We would spontaneously watch, wouldn't we? If we knew that our Lord was coming at such and such a date, this year or next year, or even 10 years from now, or 100 years from now, we would not need to be told to watch. We would know when He's coming. On the other hand, however, if one does not know when the thief is coming, then one needs to be told to keep a lookout. and to be watchful. And that is the point of the Lord in this little illustration. What you need to understand about the grammar of the original text is that the Lord is using a certain kind of condition which expresses something that is contrary to reality, contrary to fact. In the first part of the condition, when he says, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, that part is contrary to fact. Oh, I suppose it may occur here and there once in a while that someone actually knows when the thief is coming. That is very rare. Generally speaking, we do not know when that thief might come. We have no idea when that thief will come. It's in the nature of the case of what a thief is. A thief is one who operates under secrecy and stealth, generally under the cover of night and darkness. A thief is a sneaky person who breaks in, hoping not to be spotted and hoping to escape without being caught. That is a thief. A thief does not send you an email saying, by the way, I intend to come to your house tonight at such and such a time and to rob you for all you're worth. A thief doesn't give you a call on your cell phone. A thief doesn't send you a letter in the mail. Thieves don't tell us when they're coming. We have no idea when the thief might come. And the result of that is that we can be tempted to be careless in regard to the coming of a thief, that is. We can be tempted to be careless, perhaps. Perhaps we start to no longer lock our doors at night, or perhaps we are not really prepared and have no idea what we would do if a thief were to come, or perhaps we have the mentality that a thief will never break into my house. That only happens to other people. We live in a good neighborhood and a good community, and I am certain that a thief will never come to my house, and so we perhaps grow a bit careless. That's possible in regard to the coming of a thief, because we don't know when the thief might come. So we would do well, and it would be prudent on our part to hear that also, just from a natural point of view tonight. Be ready. Be watchful, even for the coming of a thief. That's common prudence and common sense. We do well to be prepared for the coming of a thief. We ought always to be watching. We ought always to be ready to defend our family and our home, of course. But we might need to be told that now and then. We might need to hear that little bit of advice now and then. You might do well to be prepared for that eventuality, because it could happen. Now apply that to the coming of Christ, and you have the precise meaning of our Lord in this illustration. We do not know when our Lord is coming. We do not know the exact date, and therefore we can be tempted to become careless in regard to His coming. Tempted to think that it may never happen, although we would never maybe actually think that, but in practice to live as though He is never coming. Tempted to become spiritually asleep. And beloved, that is a great, great temptation to us today, to become spiritually asleep. What does that mean, to be spiritually asleep? It's a hard thing to put our finger on, isn't it? It's hard to examine ourselves and say, am I spiritually asleep? How do I know if I'm spiritually sleeping? How do I know if I'm spiritually drifting to sleep? Can I be confident that as an elect child of God, I will not fall asleep? The apostle does say in that chapter that we are children of the light. We are children of the day. We do not sleep in the night. We are not drunken in the night like the wicked are. That's true. Nevertheless, also the children of God can become sleepy. And I fear that we are a bit sleepy today in regard to the coming of Christ. We need to hear this calling, this reminder, yes, but also this calling and admonition from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself through the Scriptures and through His apostles and now through His servant this evening. Watch. The calling that He extends to us is a calling to watchfulness. Now the word watch in our text means to give strict attention to something. It can mean to be cautious about something, but it can also mean to give heed to something with great care and concern so that one is not overtaken by some calamity which may come due to carelessness or indolence. That's the idea of the word. To give careful attention to something so that one is not overtaken by a calamity of some kind unawares. Now the verb watch in the text is obviously in the imperative. It's a command. The Lord is expressing here a duty for us. A duty as Christians. This is part of our calling as Christians to be watching. It's in the present tense. And that indicates that this is not something we just do once or once in a while, but it's an ongoing calling. He is saying to us, be watching. Be constantly watching. Never, never stop watching. And that verb is an active verb, not a passive verb. This is not a passive activity. We are not supposed to let someone else do this for us. We cannot do that. This is an active thing that we are called to do. Actively, consciously be engaged in this activity of watching. Now, what does this mean, to watch? Does it mean that we need to be constantly looking up into the clouds? Constantly looking up into the heavens and searching the clouds with great diligence to see if the Lord has yet come on the clouds? No, that won't be necessary. When the Lord comes on the clouds of heaven, every eye will see Him and every ear will hear that trumpet blast. We do not have to be constantly searching the heavens and the clouds themselves. That is not the meaning. Although, I will recommend that to you. There's something very spiritually edifying and wonderful about scanning the great heavens which our God has made. The clouds, the stars, the sun, beautiful creatures. But that is not what He means when He tells us to watch. He means, first of all, that we must watch for the signs which He has told us will come before His coming. And that means, first of all, that we must know those signs. And that is why I preached this entire series for us. That was my motive, that we would be reminded of our calling to watch. And in order to watch, we have to know what the signs are. We have to know what Scripture says about these things. What Scripture prophesies regarding the future. And now we have been instructed. Our minds have been instructed in regard to the signs which are yet to come. That's first. We have to know what those signs are in the Scripture. And then second, it means that we apply what we know to the world around us. It means that we are paying close attention to the events taking place in our world. It means that we pay attention to the news, politics, and affairs, current affairs. Remember that the signs are of three types. There are signs in nature, signs among the nations, and signs in the church world. Watching means that we pay close attention to what is going on in those domains of this world. That we pay close attention to the natural calamities. Close attention to the wars and rumors of wars, economic and political upheavals throughout the world, both in this country and internationally. that we pay close attention also to the events in the church world. What is going on in the ecclesiastical realm? Is there a great falling away? Because that is one of the signs to His coming. Watch means pay attention to the signs. Pay attention in whatever way you are able. Through reading the newspaper or magazines, through the internet, through the news on the television, and in whatever other way you may discover what is going on in the world around us. Watch. But this calling means more. Not only watch for the signs of His coming, but be spiritually vigilant. That's included. We saw that in the chapter that we read, where the apostle tells the Thessalonians not to be drunken in the night, not to be asleep in the night. We already saw what it is to be spiritually asleep. The calling to us tonight is also this: let us not fall asleep. Let us not be spiritually drunk with the pleasures and cares of this life. Not only let us not be drunk, that too, but let us not be spiritually drunk with the pleasures and cares of this life. Maybe we are the type of person that doesn't drink alcohol or doesn't drink much of it. That's beside the point. We can still be drunk with the things of this world. We do. We get so caught up in the things of this world. Caught up. Ensnared. What other word can you think of? We become attached to the things of this world. Pleasures, cares, yes. Good things, yes. But also evil things. And we take good things and we indulge in those things. The Lord tells us in the Luke 21 account, do not be overtaken with surfeiting and drunkenness, by which He means overindulgence in anything. In the pursuit of money. In the enjoyment of the pleasures of sports, recreation. In the pursuit of one's job and career. In the pursuit of an academic degree. In the pursuit of anything of this world by indulgence. Do not be overtaken. But there is something to the calling not to be drunken. In times of prosperity such as these, this is a great temptation to drink too much. What is true of us when we are drunken? We do not have our senses or wits about us very well, do we? We certainly are not paying close attention to the coming of our Lord. That's why we are called to be sober. Only when we are sober, actually sober and spiritually sober, are we able to watch with carefulness, with close attention for the coming of our Lord. The Lord adds something else in verse 44 of the text. After giving His illustration about the thief in the night, and that a thief comes without warning, and that we do not know the time of the coming of the thief, which implies that one must be ready for that thief. In verse 44, the Lord says, therefore, be ye also ready. Be ye also ready. Or literally, get ready. Become ready. Because you are not now ready. We are certainly not ready by nature. By nature, we cleave to this earth. By nature, we are of the earth, earthy. But not only that, we are also carnal. By nature, we are sinners who love to sin and want to sin to our heart's content, and therefore want to remain in this world as well. Get ready, the Lord says. Just as you would get ready to prevent a thief with that kind of intensity, with that kind of enthusiasm, with that kind of readiness, make yourself ready. Again, this does not mean that we are to quit our jobs, sell our homes, and huddle together in prayer until the Lord comes. That is not what is meant by getting ready. but he means get ready spiritually. Being ready means I'm ready for him to come at any moment. Indeed, that I want him to come at any moment. Suppose, beloved, that somehow I knew, and of course that's impossible, so it's only hypothetical, but suppose that somehow I knew that the Lord Jesus Christ will return to this earth on May 1 of this year. Only in about a month or so. He will return. And you say, of course, that's impossible. Things have to happen yet. I know. But imagine that I was able to tell you that with absolute certainty. How would you respond to that? Would that bring joy to your heart? Now I know that some of you would be thrilled. Some of you would be filled with excitement and enthusiasm, especially I would expect that of the elderly members of the congregation. Those of you who have lived your life here below, who have had experienced marriage and children and grandchildren, and who now maybe experience some of the aches and pains of this life, I would expect you to say, I would be thrilled for the Lord to come on May 1. That would be fantastic. Or for those of us who have other sorrows and suffering and afflictions, that would be expected that one would say, I would be thrilled that the Lord would come on May 1 of this year. But what about the rest of us? Would we be thrilled? I suspect that some of us would be just a bit disappointed. Would you be disappointed, children? Would you want to say to the Lord, no, Lord, please hold off a little while longer because we have a summer vacation planned this year. We're going up to the cottage. That's our tradition. We always go to the cottage and it's a lot of fun. We go boating. We enjoy the sunshine and we have a great time with family and friends. Can't you just wait till maybe August 1 so we can first have our summer vacation? Or what about you young people? Maybe some of you would be inclined to say, please, Lord, hold off just a few more years. There are a lot of things in this life that I want to experience yet. I want to experience marriage. I want to experience having children. Please, hold off just a little while longer. A little while longer. May 1 is too soon. I do want you to come, but just not quite yet. There are things that I would like to do. What about us older who have gotten married and had children? Maybe we would think, Lord, just hold off maybe 15 or 20 more years because I would love to see my children grow up. I would love to see them go through school. I would love to see them go to college and get a career and live a fulfilling life. And I would like to see some grandchildren too. Please, just wait a little bit longer. May 1 is too soon. Or what about those of us who are still a little bit older yet and striving to make a name for ourselves in the world, striving to make that amount of money that we've been longing to hit, that point where we can finally do all the things we wanted to do, where we can finally fulfill our dreams. We have dreams to see the world. We want to travel to Europe and Australia, or we want to see all 50 states of the United States of America. This has been our lifelong dream. Lord, that's not enough time. I'm almost there. I almost have achieved enough seniority at my job, enough money, enough vacation time. Please just wait a little bit longer. I do want you to come, but not quite yet. Then we're not quite ready yet, are we? There's nothing wrong with many of those things, beloved. Of course, those are good things. But you can see then the meaning of the Lord's calling in the text. We have to set our spiritual priority list for the future. And at the top of that list, in the number one position, must be the coming
of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's not just a doctrine in our heads. That's not just eschatology. That's not just something for the far, far distant future. That's something for us now. That's something for us in this real world, in our real lives, in our daily living. This is part of the thinking of the Christian, and it must be. I want the Lord to come more than anything else. More than anything. I do want those other things too. They're in my list of priorities, but they're under that number one spot. If the Lord comes tomorrow, hallelujah! All of that other stuff falls away. Those are nice things. I would love to experience those things. But I know there are even greater experiences to come when the Lord comes. Be ready. And therefore, in the parallel accounts, our Lord also calls us to pray. You can see the necessity of prayer, can't you? We cannot help it. We get caught up in the things of this earth and this life, and we set our hearts on them and our hopes and our dreams. We need to pray. That's why the Lord says, not only watch, but pray. Be constantly watching and constantly praying. Praying for what? Praying for His coming. Because if you're praying for His coming, that shows you desire His coming. But also praying that you will desire His coming. That you will desire it soon. We have, of course, an incentive, beloved, to desire His coming, to watch for His coming, to get ready for His coming, to pray for His coming. And that incentive is, who is it that is coming? Verse 42, ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Your Lord. He is our Lord. He is the Son of God who came into this world, into our flesh, gave Himself to the death of the cross, who shed His blood for us on the cross, who purchased us, body and soul, in life and in death, who has ascended into heaven. Yes, the one to whom we belong, He is the one who is coming back for us. We are His bride. He is our bridegroom. He is coming to give us something far greater than this world. Far greater than anything this world has to offer. It's our Lord who is coming. This is a very urgent calling. The Lord adds in verse 44, "For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Therein I find the urgency of the calling, if it has not come out in other ways already. In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Notice to whom He is speaking when He says, in such an hour as ye think not. He is not here speaking to the ungodly. It is true that the unbeliever, that Christ will come at an hour when the unbeliever does not think. The unbeliever does not expect Him to come at all. And that's why the apostle writes in the chapter that we read that the unbeliever is in darkness. The unbeliever is asleep. The children of this world all around us, beloved, are sleeping spiritually. They're in the midst of darkness. They do not expect Him to come. And He will come suddenly for them as a thief in the night. They will be unprepared. They will not be watching. And as a thief, the Lord will take everything from them. Everything that they have earned and heaped in this life. Their mighty empires will crumble in the dust. Horrible, horrible thought. Tremendous warning to any unbeliever. He will come as a thief in the night at an hour when you do not think. But He is not speaking to the unbeliever here. When He says, in such an hour as ye think not, He's speaking to His disciples. And therefore, He's speaking to us. You know, we tend to think, there's the word of the text. We tend to think that the coming of the Lord is still a long way off. We tend to think that He will not come again for quite a long time. It's really an event of the far distant future. It could be 100 years yet, we sometimes say. It could be 100 years, maybe more. Many things still have to happen, you know. There still has to be the falling away, and there still has to be the rise of the man of sin. Many things have to happen, and therefore we conclude it must still be a long way off, I think it must still be a long way off. Why do we think that way? I propose that we think that way out of the fear of persecution that we know is coming. Perhaps we think that way out of a love of this world and of earthly things. And we want to stay here for a long time yet and experience all of the things of this life. That's a mistake. Oh, I know. There are still things that have to happen. It is true. We have not yet seen the rise of the Antichrist on this earth. There are still things that have to happen. But it is a mistake for us to conclude that therefore His coming is a long way off into the future. That's a mistake. We don't know how soon or how long it will be. It will occur at a time, He tells us, when we think not. That should strike us. What do we currently think in regard to His coming? What do we currently think? He tells us it will be at a time we don't think. A time which is not in harmony with our opinion. A time which is not as we suppose it would be. That's the meaning of the verb in the text. Think not. We cannot try to calculate the time of His coming by saying, there still has to be the great apostasy. Then the man of sin has to come. And then there has to be the great tribulation. And then there is the battle of Armageddon at the end and the pouring out of the 7 vials. And so we lay out this long list of events which must come to pass, and we try to calculate the amount of time we think each of those would require, and then we conclude it's still a long way into the future. I don't think so. I don't think we can do that. The numbers which Scripture gives to us are in these kind of numbers, prophetic and apocalyptic numbers, are largely symbolic in nature. So although Scripture says that the Antichrist will reign for 3.5 years, that's not a literal number. We do not have to conclude necessarily that that is a literal number. It could all take place in a year's time. Why not? But I will not say that dogmatically, of course, because the Lord doesn't tell us. He says, in such an hour as you do not think, that's when the Son of Man will come. It may be sooner and it may be later than we think. The point is, be ready today. Watch constantly and desire that it will be sooner than later. Don't desire that it will be later. Desire that it will be sooner, and get yourself ready. The church at Sardis was not ready and was not watching. And therefore, the Lord had to say this to them. And I'll read the entire passage, Revelation 3, verses 1 through 6. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. Our Father in heaven, impress this important word unto our hearts. Grant that we might be ready, that we might be watching, that we might be longing for the coming of the Son of Man, our Lord, who died for us, so that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live with him. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen.